heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
One of the big areas that's been hit with the COVID virus, the China virus, or COVID-19, that has decimated our normal life, if you will, is the education system. I mean, we can all agree on that. That's been a real wake-up moment, I think, for families, because all the kids are home now, and they're online or they're doing the school. And, of course, that's for those who were in some sort of a school system. For those who were homeschooling already, probably not really any changes here, more than likely for those folks. And that's become a big thing, people. But listen, the education system, we've been hearing this more and more, it's failing us. And I think now is a good time to take a look and maybe a step back and look at this whole thing. We'll do that today with Karen Schoen. Our educator on the platform is on with us. She's a retired teacher. We'll tell you more about her in a moment. But listen, let's do a deep dive on education. I think it is a good time to take a step back, if you will, with me, and let's look at where we're at now, because, you know, sometimes when you know, if you don't have kids in the school system, you think it really doesn't matter. I mean, that's the way I see it. You ignore it or you flush it away because it doesn't really impact your immediate life or your immediate moment. Well, I would beg to differ with all of us that it does matter, because these kids, the people that we're talking about here, this is the upcoming generation. And this is really not only going to be the future leaders, both in our business communities and our political leaders, but it gets into even more than that, where we're having a lot of these troubles in our education system. You take, for instance, you know, one of the ongoing problems we've seen really blister up over the past, you know, 10 years, more so even last five, is, you know, speaking at a college or university for a conservative speaker has become quite the public relations nightmare, if you will, for everybody involved. And that kind of goes to the point of a lot of this stuff, which our school and education system, one of the problems we're seeing as the conservatives see, actually, is the school system has been hijacked, if you will, as they indoctrinate the kids into another belief system. Now, when I first started hearing that, truth is, I knew some of it was happening, but I didn't really think to the point of what it was happening. I was thinking to myself, you know, well, how stupid can we be? We're not really doing that, are we? And of course, as you start diving into the stuff and you hear people, and as you hear Karen today, you'll know that, yeah, we're in a heap of trouble. And you kind of knew that when this whole flag thing started coming up, you know, in the In God We Trust. I mean, we are a Judeo-Christian nation, but you would never know that by today's standards of the school system. That's kind of where it starts, people. You strip God out of everything, but you also strip the republic out of it. You strip the country out of it all, you see. And that's a lot of what we've seen. We've seen the disrespect. It's become, how do I say, normal business, almost cool to disrespect the flag and to disrespect America and God. It's become a little too cool for a lot of the students in these schools. And you begin to question why. Well, it's become because that's what they've been preaching, I think, from what I see. It's sort of what, I don't know, it seems to be there's a master plan here almost. And a lot of that is because the energy of the kids has been diverted to other things. And I started seeing this with my own two. Now, you may know I've got two teenagers myself, friends, okay? And they're in high school. And the thing is, I started seeing that with them, a few years back, actually, when they were in probably middle school. I started seeing all the talk about the gender stuff. And I didn't quite understand it because I had never gone through that myself in my life. So I really didn't know what the hell they were talking about. But it was all this gender talk, and it got a little wacky, in fact. They were online and talking about all this transgender business and then a lot of bisexual stuff and gay stuff. And, you know, and it really became part of the just the everyday vocabulary of what they were focusing on. So there was that, okay? And then we started to see this other movement in the past few years where all the statues were coming down. And I thought, well, that's a hell of a thing. You know, they're taking history off of the statue blocks. They were knocking them all down, and the kids would rally around and have a little party over it, you know, smoke a joint or two, and, you know, there'd be a real party there. Of course, you can do that legally now in most states, right? But that's another conversation as well. But no, it kind of plays into this a little bit too, the drugs. You know, drugs are running rampant through all of this, and a lot of kids think they got to try it all. So, you know, we've been challenged with that for a long time, though, people. We were challenged with that in the 60s, the 50s. I mean, come on. That's not exactly a new jet. The only thing today is everything's done out in the open. You see, before, at least, you'd do your little doobie in the closet somewhere. But everything was done in the closet back then, back in the, well, and that's before my time, but the Leave It to Beaver days, I guess I'll call it, right? You remember that show? Now it's different. Now everything's out in the open, and there's nothing hidden anymore. But that's why they're legalizing it all. You can legalize just about everything, including being an idiot. That's become quite normal as well today, you see? So all this has become really normal behavior. I think you might agree with me. You know, and I think where I was most insulted, I was insulted probably for two things. I was insulted when they started knocking all the statues down. And all that stuff started crossing. I said, what is God? This isn't right. I mean, you don't burn history. You can't destroy history. You shouldn't. I mean, how are we going to know the future if we destroy the past? It's kind of stupid. I mean, we don't live in the past, but we want to know the past. But then I'm wondering, well, are they really teaching American history in the schools? Why don't the kids know about this stuff, I wonder? You know, well, they're so busy learning all this transgender, gay, and all this, you know, changing your body parts kind of over. And not to take nothing away from that. I mean, listen, I'm not here to judge other people, whether they should be gay or not, because that's not the conversation today. The point is, it's become normal vocabulary. And so the kids' energy, I think the generation, is spent into all of this stuff, you see? I mean, there's a place and time for everything, but it's being diverted from what really truly matters. And that really is the problem. I was also offended when they started really just burning the flag up and really kneeling at all the football games and all that. Because I was highly offended as a patriot, as an American, as a person who loves everything about this country and loves our military and our law enforcement and the beautiful life we have here in America. I was very insulted with that. In fact, I gave up football. I don't watch it anymore. I have no respect for the game whatsoever. It became acceptable. And a lot of this acceptability is where you really begin to see the crumbling of society. At first, it's one thing, then it's another, then it's another. At first, you can't have the manger scene up at the local Kmart, you know. You can't do the In God We Trust. You can't have the Bible in the school. You can't pray anymore, okay. You can't do the flag. You can't do the Pledge of Allegiance. You can't put your hand on your heart. You want to kneel at the football games. You want to piss on the statues, knock them all down. You want to bitch about everything, and then you want to talk about everybody changing body parts and the world is a beautiful place. Let's all smell the tulips and smoke weed. What's wrong with that picture, I wonder? And now I sound like my father or grandfather, don't I? I mean, don't we begin to sound like that? That's what worries me. Do we sound like our parents and our grandparents? You know, whack, 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 you know? And that kind of always worries me, though. Do we start to sound like our parents? That's not good, people, because then we're getting old or older. Or is it wiser, maybe? Maybe we're just getting wiser. You know, I don't remember any of this as a kid, by the way. I just remembered, you know, the drugs were there. And the weed, and that was always there. You walked out of junior high school, and you seen it right there. And in high school, obviously. I mean, now, I didn't engage in a lot of that stuff. I was, you know, I didn't do drugs because I didn't need it. I was already druggy enough on life. I didn't need any drugs to have a good time or mess my program up. But I know a lot of people tried them. A lot of my friends did. A lot of others did. No problem. That's what they wanted to do. But it's been around forever. And it's around today. But that is probably, as I remember back in school, that's the change that's happened from then to now. So really, over the last 30 years, boy, has the education system changed like a lot. And I want to talk to you today about how we fix some of this, including the international students, that part of it. Of course, with the COVID thing, that's a big business. It's something we need to talk about, and the China connection to all that. I also want to talk about school vouchers, and what about that? President Trump had quite a bit to say about that. I want to touch on that as well. But also, first and foremost, as my guest today, Karen Schoen, will say, it is the total destruction of America's youth is well underway. I'll be back with Karen in just a moment. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
The kids are at home now with this mandatory quarantine deal, really around the world. Just about the whole world is quarantined now, or at least most developed countries are. And in the education system, the kids are now at home and they're having to learn this stuff online. And there's been problems with that as well, depending on what platform they're using, with hackers and technological glitches, if you will. The school system had to get through, because I heard this from my own kids when they first tried to make the transition. However, having said that, it appears to me it is getting better. I haven't heard as many technical problems in the past few weeks. And it's become, I guess for a better way to say this, we've gotten into a new normal, whatever that might be. Let me bring on Karen Schoen is here. She's an educator, a dean, retired teacher. She certainly is an activist focused on saving America. It's one of the amazing things I love about Karen is she really is. Her heart's in the program. She wants to help save America. And we all want to do that, people, back at America Out Loud. But Karen wears that on her sleeve. And all her articles as weekly columnists are back on the platform at AmericaOutloud.com. So, Karen, there is a transition happening right now where the kids are in they're doing the online and these programs, whether it's Zoom, and there's a host of these online programs, if you will, that the school systems are using, and they've had to kind of work through the how and the where and the wow and get their educators all lined up. It's interesting, and like I said up front, for those who are homeschooling already, this was probably less of a change, I would imagine. But for the rest of people that are in public schools and private schools, this is a major change and rude awakening, especially for parents who are out of work and at home right now, and the kids have to be online. So what about this right now? Are we seeing anything here seriously that this could be? Is there any part of this being future consideration for the future of education? I don't know why I asked that, but I had a feeling the other day that maybe this is an idea whose time has come. What do you think?
Oh, I definitely think that this is the wave of the future. They have been driving to technocracy, technology from the beginning. I remember when I was teaching and I was complaining that the textbook didn't actually show the kids how to compute in math. I was a math teacher.
Right.
And my principal said, what do they need to know how to compute for? We'll give them a calculator and a computer.
Oh, wow.
So this was
they really
in
said
the
that?
70s. Yes.
And that was in the 70s. Yes. Wow. You know, math, by the way, was my worst subject. And that's what you taught? Oh, boy.
Yes. That I made it easy and fun.
Did you? Well, I should have had you as a teacher.
And math is really easy and fun. Basic math and computation is so important, and that's why it's not taught. So that's my hot button right now, because even if you listened to Dr. Fauci the other day, he said, I'm a medical doctor and I don't know anything about the economy. Excuse me? Then how come you're making economic decisions? But that's the problem. We have
with Fauci, that's a cop-out, obviously, right? I mean, that's a cop-out.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the media is trying to get him with those gotcha questions, Karen.
Right. But that what I was alluding to is that the people who graduate now may be an expert in one field. And then they have no idea how to connect it to something else. So they can't calculate, they can't do math, they can't probably even tell you anything about American history if they're involved in the medical profession. That's all they're involved in.
So Karen, how big of a problem is that really what you're speaking about? And is it this, is it because we have blinders on as people? Like for instance, if you're getting into art, and art is your thing, or you want to be a history buff or math, do we tend to ignore the other things, or why is that happening?
That's exactly right, because they are diving into that one particular subject and ignoring everything else. And it's very interesting when you look at our elected officials who are going down a path, and they're going down that path, and they know the path is wrong, but it doesn't make any difference because that's the only path they know. And they are incapable of switching, of using common sense, of adding a piece, because they have absolutely no skill set to be able to do that. So we have taken a well-rounded person and directed them into one direction with blinders on, and they can't see anything else. So they're like in a maze.
So how do we fix
that? They're in a track. How do you fix that?
How do we
fix
that? What's the answer?
The best thing that I can think of right now is to use this time to homeschool your kids and teach them the truth and ignore the curricula that your school is giving you, because it has very little to do with the truth. But really, it would be a great thing if the parents actually read what their kids are reading. And that's the other problem.
So then we all learn a little bit then, right? If that happens.
Exactly. Which could make learning so much fun at home if we all learn a little bit of something. Let's learn something new about American history. Let's learn something new about whatever. We in my organization, which is, if you don't mind me plugging, the Florida Citizens Alliance, we spent the latter part of last year reviewing textbooks.
Okay.
These were new books that the kids would be using, because in Florida, Governor DeSantis nixed Common Core. Richard Corcoran, our commissioner, spent an entire year revising, redoing, adding, etc., and wanted to make sure that the books that the kids would be getting were at least truthful. I started reading one of the educational, one of the textbooks on civics.
Right.
I couldn't believe what country I was in, because it certainly had nothing to do with American civics.
And this is what they're teaching.
They called America a democracy, and that is the goal. So before we go any further, can we define who these people really are?
Well, who are they?
Would that be okay?
Yeah, let's start.
Because they are your globalists, your communists, your socialists. They're all one group of people, and their whole goal is to eliminate borders, mm-hmm. have a one world government, and everything is headed and funneled through the United Nations.
Yeah.
So when you are doing that, what's not important? America, American history. If we're going to be a one world, then American history, which teaches exceptionalism and being different to accomplish a goal, doesn't exist.
Yeah,
so you want to eliminate that from history.
And Karen, I think one of the interesting points about this is that it really is a sticking point, because, you know, President Trump ran on Make America Great Again, right? MAGA. Make America Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
It was the whole MAGA movement. But it really was a form of nationalism we hadn't seen in some time. But you have to remember, before President Trump, Karen, we had Obama, but then we had Bush, and then we had Clinton, and then we had Bush. So really, you had really four different globalist presidents there who had a global view of trying to connect the dots in America. And that kind of culminated with the Obama administration, which put it on steroids. And now you really had a movement to this whole globalist thing. Because listen, I didn't really buy into the whole globalist thing initially, but then I started seeing it more and more. In other words, that people were really doing this. I thought it was far-fetched, but no, the evidence was there, and they really were trying to do that. And then all these cats, like you say, ended up in the education system, which I find very interesting. And then, like you say, they started to change other things. And it really started to change, Karen, in a societal way. Like I said, well, flags and God and football and all this stuff, and then people thought it was acceptable, correct?
Exactly. Well, what communists believe is what they call cultural Marxism.
Right.
And what that means is the elimination of anything that doesn't agree with them, period. So take down the statues, create a different history, listen to Michelle Obama. We have to create a new history. No, you don't create a new history. That's not the way life works. You have to learn the old history so you don't repeat the same mistakes. But they don't want that. They want the mistakes being repeated.
Yeah.
Because there's really three things that the communists, globalists, whatever, let's call them globalists, have in common. And those three things are money, power, and control. And that's all they care about. So everything else doesn't really amount to anything for them, because their goal of education is to train the kids to work in whatever government position they want them to be in, or menial, whatever, to eliminate the middle class. You cannot have a middle class in a communist regime because you cannot promote competition, and a middle class promotes competition. So therefore, instead of teaching, you're training. So our kids are left without the basic life skills, including reading, writing, and math.
And let me jump on something here. When you talk about, this is very interesting. I want listeners to understand when we're talking about the middle class that you're talking about, Karen. Well, you said you either have a lot of money. That's the whole concept of socialism. We call it the betters. The betters have lots of money. Those are the well-to-do, the elites at the top. Let's call them elites, yeah. Karen, okay? So the elites have a lot of money, and that's the whole version of socialism. They look down at the rest of us. I mean, and what's really interesting about this is they talk about this in a way that, like, the socialist left, the Socialist Democrat Party of America is what I call them now. This particular group of people, they have this brand out there. They want to convince people that they really care about the middle class. That's what they've tried to do since the JFK days. But what I'm saying is they've done it as a carrot in a very interesting market employ. And obviously, they don't care anything about the middle class. But it's interesting how they've used that as their brand, if you will, Karen, which I find quite clever of theirs, yeah?
Oh, they are expert marketeers. That's one thing. They have a fabulous command of the language and they use it. But the middle class, if you are absolutely right, they must eliminate the middle class. They are not interested in the middle class. If you ever listen to Obama's speeches, he never in any of the speeches said, my goal is to elevate the middle class into the middle class into the upper class. He never said that. His goal was to get the poor people into the middle class. He said that for 8 years, and the poor people are still in the middle. Poor.
Well, he had the Hope and Change campaign. Remember the Hope and Change, which really was a heap of trouble. I want to ask you, you said a few moments ago, I want to circle back about online. You talked, as I started this thing, talking about where the kids are right now because of the COVID pandemic. And they're doing this online. And you mentioned, Karen, about families getting involved in teaching and schooling and homeschooling, basically. Now, a lot of the people who were in the public and private schools, their kids now are doing the online. Online meaning they're still public-private schools, and they're still being, it's still the same indoctrination. It's just done online rather than in the classroom right now. But what I want to point out, I believe you said, this is an opportune time that people should sort of break away from that since the kids are home already and you're home already. I think what you said, or did you, that maybe this is a perfect time for people to transition and actually homeschool their kids and see that it is very doable. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Yes. And there are fabulous programs and curricula out there that are not the Common Core coming from your local educational.
How do you get those programs, Karen? How do you get those?
Well, you can go to Hillsdale College, and they have the Barney program. And that's being used very successfully in many of the charter schools. Freedom, the Freedom Project is another one, Heritage Foundation. You can connect with homeschooling advocates and homeschooling groups in your
community. So whatever state they're in or whatever part of the country they're in, they just go and plug in homeschooling advocates or homeschooling information.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Right. And you will find plenty of them. We have also discovered that kids who are homeschooled are 30% higher
IQ.
Than kids that go to a
wow.
traditional school.
Wow.
And their understanding, their ability to maneuver, their ability to use common sense, their ability to use skills, which is what education is supposed to give you. Mm-hmm. Education is not supposed to be all of this social garbage of diversity and crap like that.
Right.
It is supposed to give you a formulated skill set that prepares you to make your own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we have now, as we can see by the media, each one using the same talking point over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
They are incapable of having their own decisions.
Well, they brainwash They brainwash it, Karen.
Well, yes. Exactly. We are seeing today the fruits of a socialist education in the media and in our
absolutely.
Government.
Absolutely. 100%, man. And I preach it every day, Karen. Let me tell folks as well, the current article, it's actually the third part in a series, if you will. But the title of it is on America Out Loud right now, friends. I want you to go read it. It's The Total Destruction of America's Youth is Well Underway. And it's right on the platform. Now, if you do that, and you go to the navigation bar at America Out Loud, and you go onto bloggers, just look for Karen Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N. And if you go there on her name, you'll get all of her. I mean, she's a terrific writer, but she's got a wealth of information in there, I'll tell you, on the education system, for real. I mean, it's a blueprint and a library of really cool stuff. You'll see the three parts of the talk I've just mentioned to you, but you'll also see a whole lot more that Karen's been writing over the years with us now. And so there's a lot there. And so this one here, Karen, in this particular article, you mentioned the globalists believe in the precautionary principle. I want to educate folks a little bit about what the precautionary principle is. Can you explain that briefly to us?
Basically, it is taking the worst case scenario of anything because we have to make sure that we don't hit the worst case. An example of that was about 5 years ago when they used the computers to model how many fish would be missing. So what they did was, in worst case scenario, if we deleted 30 million fish, red snapper, from our waters, what would happen? Oh my goodness, we would have a red snapper deficit. Okay, then they turned around and said, you can't fish for red snapper because there's a deficit. Is there a deficit? No. There could be if we didn't make a few adjustments.
I see.
But fishermen, I can tell you, were fishing and they were capturing red snapper in their nets, which they were forced to throw back in the water, even though they were dead and not allowed to give them to the homeless shelters. Now,
okay.
Does that make any sense?
It does. No, what you're speaking about is what they're doing is they're taking agenda-driven
exactly.
principles, agenda-driven.
Yes.
And they're putting them into real-life stuff, right? They're twisting it.
Exactly. And we can see that with just what went on with the COVID virus. What happened in the virus situation is they never expected Trump to act as fast as he did and actually do what he said he was going to do. So they said, well, we need X number. We need 5,000 beds for the hospital. Poof, he created in a week hospitals that would have 40,000 beds in them and necessary to. But wait a minute. Nobody showed up. Why? Because when they did the modeling, of course, we had faulty numbers. But even so, when they did the modeling, they put in the worst case scenario as though nobody did anything. And that would be the death toll.
Well, they don't know math. So, remember, you already admitted
exactly.
that Fauci said that. So what the hell do you want?
That's right. Well, now you have people that don't understand ratio, proportion, and percentages mm-hmm. explaining how this program is going to, you know, and we're very happy that it worked out the way that it did. That's not my point. My point is they pick the highest number. They pick the worst case scenario. They do that in every single program and process that we do. And they must destroy the old and replace it with the new. Now, what happens when that happens is these programs, because they're so bloated, cost a fortune. Well, that's what that's the goal, money, power, and control. They want more money. So how do they give more money? By creating the scariest scenario that they possibly can for anything. Look what they've done to fossil fuel. Fossil fuel is destroying the planet. No, it's not.
That's right.
It's not destroying the planet at all. But in the worst case scenario, if we did nothing, if we didn't take the fossil fuel industry and say, you better curb your pollution, then they would be right. However, they don't talk that way. They're talking fossil fuel industry is destroying the planet by polluting the earth. It's not. It hasn't been for the last 20 years. But they can't admit to that because then they wouldn't be able to write more regulations and command more money. And destroy a business that they don't own and have interest in.
You've opened my eyes a little bit here with the precautionary principle in a very interesting way. And the fact that I think, listeners, you can understand now what we're talking about when they took, like Karen, you say, they're the worst numbers. And you're right. I've been talking about this in past days here, the models. We talked about it on Viewpoint, in fact. And they took the models and then they said, we're going to have at least a couple of million, maybe could be more than that, dead in the United States. And those are some pretty staggering numbers, Karen. At that point, that was a real-time pandemic and a real major catastrophe in the making, potentially. So what we're saying here, and we're all a little suspect now because, you know, the Fauci dude and Dr. Deborah Birx and all, they have a lot of relationships with the Clinton Foundation and with the Bill Gates Foundation and all these big international groups there. They have a lot of relationships, family members on the boards and stuff like that. And then it becomes this whole thing of what's the real initiative here? Because, you know, Gates is another one who wants to vaccine the whole world and put an ID chip in them. I mean, people are worried about right now. People are saying in my ear, they think Bill Gates could very well be, and I haven't said this on air before, but I'm going to tell you right now, Karen, and you tell me back what you think on this, but I have people in my ear, I'm not going to say who, telling me that they honestly believe, and looking at all the evidence, they think that Bill Gates is the Antichrist. What do you say to that?
I wouldn't be at all surprised, and one just has to look at Bill Gates and what he says. And he's a huge eugenist. He believes in that the population should be less than a billion people.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go near a vaccine of his for all the money in the world because you have no idea what's in there. He belongs with John Holdren, who believes that in order to have a child, you have to have a license because not everybody is capable of having a child.
Yeah.
So the decision becomes out of your hands and goes into the hands of the government. And Bill Gates is right there, and he has done huge damage in Africa with the vaccine, sterilizing people without them even knowing it.
Yeah.
And if you look back at his family tree, his father worked with Margaret Sanger to create Planned Parenthood, whose goal was to eliminate the black race.
Interesting. Wow, it all comes around, goes around, doesn't it, people? Truly, truly amazing.
I always say, Malcolm, everything has a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
All plans are everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything is based on lies because they can't get their programs through if they told the truth because their programs don't work.
All right, let me ask you this.
Full of holes.
As a thought here with the vaccine, I want to circle around something you just said. Within the vaccine now, so experts are saying that this whole thing isn't going to really calm down until they have a vaccine for this COVID-19 business, that they need a real vaccine, Karen. And that would be about 18 months is what we keep hearing, and that it will go through its cycles of, cold and hot season of being more transmissionable or not. And like a lot of these things, and it will come back to be a seasonal flu, like H1N1 has done and things like that. But, you know, in relationship to this vaccine thing, then, there are a lot of people, you either believe in them or you don't. You obviously don't believe in vaccines, I'm guessing, from what you said, or you said you wouldn't take Gates' vaccine. So the question is, how does this, the people who don't want a vaccine or don't trust Bill Gates, and they're talking about these vaccines at some point, I've even heard conversations that they would be mandatory at some point if you're going to be out in the public.
I am a anti-vaccine person, not that I don't believe some vaccines are important. When I grew up, we had the polio vaccine, we had inoculation against tuberculosis, et cetera, but no parent ever took their child to get a shot that contained 20 vaccines in one shot. No child ever received, when I was growing up, vaccine upon vaccine upon vaccine, which surprisingly, we now have 1 in 7 autistic children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
it
right.
It does not compute. It doesn't make sense. The numbers, I'm a numbers person. The numbers don't make sense.
Yeah.
1 in 7 children are autistic. And what are they going through? A series of vaccines.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you have to have a vaccine against a disease that 1 in 1 million you may get when the vaccine itself could do more harm than good?
Right.
And isn't it up to the parents to decide what they want their child to be vaccinated against?
You would think. We're speaking here, friends, with Karen Schoen, and she's an educator, dean, a retired teacher, and activist focused on Saving America. Well, I'm glad we did this today because I'm learning a lot already, and I love this explanation of the precautionary principle. Because I can see what they did with the models and all with the COVID business. I also like Karen's view and thoughts about how education is going to change in the future. I mean, we've been talking about the popularity, and she's been actually told me a couple of years ago, the homeschooling is going to be a big deal ahead. And as she just said, that's really the answer forward. And I know a lot of people, even on our network, believe that's true. A lot of our experts believe that's an accurate statement. Interesting. There's a commitment there as a parent, obviously, especially if you're working and things like that with the education part of it. But friends, there's a commitment if you're having kids, period, isn't there now, you know? And I guess we all have to face up to that. And what do you want the kids to be, you know, or, you know, to emulate as young adults? Because again, they grow up to be adults and they grow up to rule the world, as they say, you know? Well, let's all rule the world here. And I want to tell you here, this whole COVID business has got everybody on edge, very clearly. People are edgy. They want to get back to opening. I know my kids are bouncing off the walls. My two teenagers that are in high school, I told you, they're bouncing off the walls. Said, Dad, let's get out of here, please. We want to go. They want to go somewhere. Let's go somewhere to eat or do something. Well, you can't go anywhere. We explained to them that it's from sea to shining sea. It's a pandemic, and it's closed down everything. They've closed it all based on those faulty models that they stuck in there. Because then you have to say, well, what did they really want? Did they want to stop the economy? Interesting. Did they want to damage the economy, bang the president and the success metrics they had going up? I wonder. What do you think, people? No? I guess when you try to tackle a president in every way you possibly can and you don't succeed, you give them effort, try again, right? Maybe the next thing is you have a pandemic that you float, you put the wrong numbers in the models, and then you send everybody home and you lock everything up and you fail the economy, and then you bankrupt the country even more. And then you wonder, wow, what kind of a pandemic is this, huh? It's a pandemic, all right, with major repercussions for our future and for our children's future, for sure. You know, one of the things I want to tell you all today before we get back in with Karen here and talk about some really big things here, it is key important with all this COVID thing, we're all taking better care of ourselves. Most important. You know, one of the things with the COVID thing, the people that are having the troubles is people that have got troubles with all kinds of things that haven't taken care of their health. They're compromised, their immunity systems, in other words. Those are the people that, like with any disease, people, if your immunity system is compromised, and it could be something serious like a COPD or diabetes, but it could be just something else, could be just something more basic. And which brings me to the point that we need to take better care of ourselves, which I tell you all the time, because I know for myself I got to take care of myself, and I do exactly that, which is why you hear the commercials on the network of Healthy Cell. It manages the health of our cells. If we're going to stay young, we're going to be young, look young, feel young, and have a shot at this thing, we got to take care of this, the health of our cells, because as our cells age, we age. And as our cells get corrupted and hurt, we get corrupted and hurt. So I think the key that I found to this thing is the cells. So that's what I like about Healthy Cell. When I contacted the company, I guess it's been about 3 years now or close to it, I think. They've been here as a sponsor with us because I called the company up in the Northeast and said, I love your product. Got to get you on here. And they've been with us since, and we happily get behind them because I take the product and it works. So having said that, all our listeners, if you're an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your order there. Just go there and put your first order in. You'll get 20% off the order. Go to use the code OUTLOUD or just go to healthycell.com/OUTLOUD. And that's you'll get the 20% is automatic. You'll see it computed because it knows you came in through OUTLOUD. But if you go in just to healthycell.com, you'll want to use that code OUTLOUD to get the 20% off, okay? And that's your gift, and take it and use it. But get the supplements or get the gel, whatever you prefer. It's all explained on the page there. Or you'll see the banner ad right at AmericaOutLoud.com. Just click that. Got to take care of you first if you're going to take care of the rest of the world, including the kids. We'll be back with Karen Schoen in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The system has been broken for quite some time, actually. And the vultures have taken advantage of it, quite frankly. And that's where you're now seeing the socialism of America, which is out in the open now, just as much as everything else is out in the open. Socialism is out in the open. So it's no longer a secret what they want to do in making America a Marxist country. And that's what we need to stop here. And this is no joke, people. It's no joke. It's serious business. In the education system, I am very convinced, is very serious business. Now, Karen, who's on with me now, has really dedicated her life to this cause. There's no doubt in my mind. When she's about as real and legit as one gets. And when she talks about saving America, she means it. And she's also the kind of teacher that you could see walking back in the classroom with a ruler in her hand. And you know damn well what she's going to do with that ruler on your fingers. I can feel you doing that to my hands, Karen. You will pay attention, Malcolm, and knock it off.
No, I, Malcolm, I used to say, or you will bring your mother and she will sit with you because my job is to teach and her job is to discipline.
Karen, I had several teachers that were probably related to you. I'm telling you, young lady. But I had those teachers that would walk back and say, Malcolm, with the ruler in the hand. And that, there were those times that you become a class clown or you don't pay attention. And now, you all out there don't think Malcolm was a clown. I mean, come on. There's a lot of talk, Karen, and I've talked about it on the platform here. And we're not going to go down that road today, but I have discussed with listeners it verbatim about a biochemical weapon and what or what not this virus was and where it came from in Wuhan, China. I do not believe it was the bat's ass in the soup, as the images went around doing. And there was an agenda from China who held the information back. And we have heavily reported on this. And that's not today's conversation, but listeners know what I'm talking about here. China is up to no good. And so, and when we talk about globalism and what they want to do, well, the in plain English, they want to rule the world. And they're looking for superpower status. I had a talk the other day where I think this virus and the way that it has been handled and the way it's been approached, Karen, has probably set China back. Some people, IQ was telling me the other day on the program here, he thinks it set them back maybe even 100 years. But it has definitely set them back because the world is not going to trust China with this pandemic now and the damage it's done throughout Europe and America and everywhere else for that matter. One of the points of contention I want to talk to you about, Karen, is international students. And let me read this to you here. The number of international students in the United States set an all-time high this past year in the academic year of 2019 here. And the fourth consecutive year, Karen, with more than 1 million international students. Now, the total number of international students was about 1.1 million, and that was about 0.5% increase over the previous year, okay? Now, international students make up about 5.5% of the total U.S. higher education population, higher education I'm speaking of. For the 10th consecutive year, China remained the largest source of international students in the United States. Now, I bring that up, Karen, for a couple of reasons. If this virus, if this disease was stolen indeed from a laboratory in another country, which we believe to be true, and it was biological espionage that it was sent back to China from, and we have the names of the people. If you want the answers to that, just go listen to the show, The Virus Threats as a Weapon, on the Voice of a Nation page, people. The Virus Threats as a Weapon. Go on the nav bar, Voice of a Nation, look up that show and listen to it. Sit down and listen to it. And listen to the whole hour. And you'll get a real education on where this virus comes from. So China, if this is the case, we have a lot of students in our schools, in our throughout our entire education system, okay? And I'm reading you some real numbers here. And we get into some other numbers in a moment here. What is your view on this with international students? What are your thoughts on it? And what should we be doing moving forward, Karen? Are we being too laxed in this way? And because, you know, our technology is being stolen and a lot of our, you know, information is being sent back to China in many, many ways. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I happen to agree with you that the Chinese students are here basically to bring technology information back to China. But on the flip side of that is, why are they here? Because every seat that one of these students takes comes to that university at full fare. Whereas if they have to take an American student, they have to provide a discount. So who are they taking? They're taking the international student. So every international student displaces an American student. You want to talk about disparity and diversity and all of that other garbage? How many international students? Why are they here? If we feel that Blacks, Hispanics, Asian, whatever, Americans are not getting a full education, then why are we educating the international students? So the goal is really to keep the American students down and to promote the international students, because these people are all tied up with China. A communist doesn't change his stripes because he's in a different country. They all have the same goals. They all want the same thing. And an easy way to figure out what they're really striving for is to just Google 45 goals of communism that was read in the Congressional Record in 1963. Mm-hmm. And you will see every single thing that is going on today is one of the goals that they promoted.
Or they should go read your columns, go read your articles. You talk about those communist rules a lot in your articles, Karen.
Yes, because they're very important. Three of them, real simple, quick ones. Number 17, get control of the school. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' unions, put the party line in the textbooks, and it is in the textbooks. Yeah. Number 18 is gain control of all student newspapers. And number 19 is use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack, like conservatives speaking on school campuses.
So it's interesting, Karen, that I'm talking about China. I love the way you point out and say, now, wait a minute. China is to remind everybody they're a what? They're a communist country. Okay. And then what are they trying to do here? Well, they're trying to make America into a communist country. And so when you start to connect the dots here, people, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out what the motive is here. And then you see a lot of these. We've had a real problem with our trade secrets, our technology, and a lot of this, our pharmaceuticals, and a lot of this information on a high level is getting back into China. And they're stealing our technology. And this is one of the things that President Trump has been fighting for in a lot of these trade deals. Now, in addition to China, Karen, and by the way, it's approaching about 400,000 students now that are in undergraduate, graduate, and non-degree, and these OPT programs. There's also, by the way, China's by far large the biggest, okay, Karen? By far the biggest. Mm-hmm. Nobody comes close to what China in numbers is. Now, there are others, but though, there is India, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, and Canada. But some of these kids are brilliant. The question is, and I heard a lot of controversy on this over the years, how do we get them to stay here? Because we are a diversified world, a diversified country. That is the whole makeup of America. We're not xenophobes or racists or any of that business, Karen. How do you juggle that? How do you balance that all out?
Well, the sad thing is that every time we do that, we take away from a brilliant American who we should be promoting first. I don't have a problem with immigration, and I certainly don't have a problem with having brilliant minds here.
Talk to me about this here. I've read up a lot of this. When President Trump was candidate Trump, he said on the campaign trail, by the way, Karen, you might recall, that school choice is the new civil rights issue of our time. That's what he called it, in fact. You know, a lot of people got confused with that, the talk of school choice, I'm saying. And it got really complex because they made it complex. But, you know, we're thinking about vouchers so you can, as a parent, make the decision of where to send your child, whether it's a public, private, or a school out of the area or whatever. That is your choice and not the city or county's choice. Do you believe in vouchers? Do they work? What do you think about this?
I don't think they're going to solve anything.
Okay.
Because the minute you take money from the government, you are then stuck with what the government wants you to do. And there we're back to the same faulty socialist communist curricula that we had before that's teaching nothing. So, and here is my question. Does it matter what the location is where the child is going to learn communism? Is what's important, what they're learning, communism, or where they're learning it? So a voucher changes where they're learning it, but it creates a false sense of security because it's not changing anything with what the child is actually learning. If they're learning nothing, they can learn nothing in a closet. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yes.
As a matter of fact, one of my kids used to like to work in the closet because it was quiet.
Oh,
I didn't care because he was working.
Yeah, my daughter
but
does too.
What we're doing is we're saying, here's a voucher. You can change your location, and that's going to make your child learn. No,
you have a valid point. I wasn't even thinking through that. You know what's interesting? What you're saying is, you're talking about that the system is busted, broken, and it needs to be fixed entirely. And you're saying the school voucher program is just it's a half truth. It's not going to fix anything. It does give choice back to the parent. That's a good thing. But you're saying the system itself, it wouldn't fix the core problem of what we're talking about right now, Karen, that we're in trouble.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
And I do feel that the parents should have a choice as to where they're going to school. But if you really want to do something and change the schools, then homeschool your kids because the school gets paid on attendance.
Yeah, well,
so
what if they don't have the patience? What if they're too busy working and they don't have the patience to do it and they can't do
join
it?
Join a homeschool group.
Okay.
And there is no reason why any parent can. I have seen in multiple homeschool groups, a parent who's working provides money for lunch.
Oh, that's cool. So they have groups, you're saying. I didn't know that, Karen.
They have homeschool groups.
Oh, terrific.
Alex Newman, anybody who is in the sound of my voice, contact Alex Newman. He is one of the best on homeschooling. He has five kids and he homeschools them. And homeschooling is not something that should have to be done forever either, because if we can make an impression on the public schools, then they might actually start teaching real things. But until that time, we have to do the one thing that they need the most, and that's money, and take the money away. Mm-hmm. The schools are so filled with social programs that there's no time for the child to learn. Yeah. If you taught your kid for 2.5 hours at home, they would learn more than they do in school for the entire day.
You think the Department of Education's best days are behind it? You think it's time to disband that? Or
absolutely. It was time to disband it 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But now we have the head of the Department of Education who's a globalist. So what are we going to do?
You're talking about Betsy.
Betsy DeVos. She was a Jeb Bush girl. She was a VP in Jeb Bush's. She's a globalist. She believes in Common Core. Oh, we're not going to have Common Core. We're going to change it. Well, all they did was change the name. They didn't change what the kids are learning.
Yeah.
And that's the
problem.
Well,
let's just say that Betsy DeVos is no Betsy Ross, right?
Exactly. She needs to be gone. It's time to make a change. She needs to be gone. I would recommend Richard Corcoran from Florida as the new Department of Education head to close the Department of Education. Because that's really, there is no place in our Constitution that mentions the Department of Education for a reason. Yeah. And that is because we are 50 individual states who are supposed to be educating our students.
That's right.
And making 50 new educational programs that compete against one another. The brilliance that comes from that is staggering.
What we're doing now
is we are commonizing. We're making everybody into the collective.
Yeah, the collective. Well, I mean, that's been it's been a real buzzword around here is collectivism, and you're speaking right to it. Karen, well, I think everybody can see right now that Karen is not enthused at all, has no excitement or passion for this subject matter at all. I'm sure everybody can see that. And you are a fireball of information, always are. You're smart as anything on this stuff. That's why I love having you on and always talking to you about this stuff. Don't forget, friends, to read the article that Karen has just gone live at AmericaOutLoud.com. It's entitled, "The Total Destruction of America's Youth is Well Underway." It's the featured piece tonight. As you hear this on talk radio, go read it. After the fact, go to her name under bloggers, Karen Schoen. Look for all of her articles right there off the nav bar, and you can get all kinds of information. I appreciate Karen being here and all that she does. She's passionate about saving America. And we all are passionate about that here at America Out Loud, friends. We have a total myriad of great articles and great information from our columnists around the globe back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Get on there and push that information out there. Let's make a difference. This is how it starts right here. And it's a wave effect we have to create around the world. If we're going to make change, if we're going to save America, well, we all have to get involved in the game, people. Thank you for being here with me and Karen Schoen and being here and part of the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud.